time for the Zoom Table on Niagara in the Morning from 610 CKTB.
And the Zoom Table
set to go.
On a Monday, it is 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. I mentioned very early, and I don't want to scare anybody, but 3 months yesterday was Christmas. But just throwing that in just for fun. Lots to talk about till then, though. Let's talk to our guests this morning. Ruth Unruh is with us, the host of Niagara Made, here on 610 CKTB. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Joined by the president of the 2% Factor, Ted Moradian. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good. I can hear you both perfectly. Well done. Are you all excited to get back to an in-person get-together one of these days? Would you rather be in person than do this kind of thing, Ted?
I do. Yeah.
Ruth?
I enjoyed the in-person, but I got to tell you that this is great. I mean, it's just like, here we are, and then we're not. And then
somehow I knew you'd be for that. I just had a feeling. It brings up my first topic this morning, which is, over the weekend, I saw a real dichotomy when it came to the pandemic, COVID, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you were at Grape and Wine, people were everywhere, all over the place. There were festivals in Grimsby, festivals in Beamsville, Port Colborne, Fort Erie. There was the parade downtown, et cetera, et cetera. And then there were a couple of other places. I went to get an ice cream on Saturday, and I'm not going to mention the name of the place, but it was a place you usually, or in times past, could go in. You could get your ice creams, sit in there and have a nice time. Now, they are still limiting the number of people who go in at any given time. So there's a big lineup outside. There's no seating on the inside. There's a big sign saying we do not accept cash, only cashless. Although there is another sign saying we will accept cash for tips, which I thought was kind of odd. But anyway, so there's that. And then I saw one local theater group was advertising a dinner theater where they used to have people in all the time for dinner theater. And they said, we're not ready to go back to a dinner theater yet. So we're just going to have the show with maybe a little bit of food on the side. And we're going to cut back on the number of shows we do. So not everybody is fully open. There was a real mixture of messages that I was getting as I was out and about in Niagara. Ruth, if I were to ask you whether or not it's all said and done, is the pandemic done? No,
not well. And not for me anyway. It's really interesting. Everybody's so different. I mean, I'm not somebody who has gone yet to a place where there's crowds. I'm still, when there's a lot of people in a house, I'm avoiding that. I haven't really gone out for dinner.
Now, can I ask you a very serious question? Because I know you, are in a vulnerable situation from a health point of view because you're immunocompromised, right?
Yeah.
So would you?
Am I still? I mean, I went through chemotherapy 2.5 years ago. So,
would you be going out and doing those things had the pandemic not happened?
I probably would be more so. I mean, if the pandemic taught us nothing else, and it taught us a lot, it taught us that, if you don't want a cold or a flu, wearing a mask and keeping your distance is very helpful. So if you don't want those things, you might want to limit your stuff. But I mean, before that, would I go back to an Ice Dogs game? Would I go... probably, but I'm still yep, very hesitant about it. And it's difficult to navigate as a person who isn't embracing all of this openness, right? Yep. Because there's a lot of people that really don't understand it. And do you really need to spend the time explaining it? But
some people just have a different point of view on it, right?
Right.
Obviously. About Ted, what do you think?
I'm more open, but I'm also cautious. I'm more cautious than I was before. I mean, I wash my hands when I come home. I try to fist pump, but I still shake some hands once in a while. Depends on who the person is. And I'm happy we're opening up. I'm in front of over 200 people next month doing a presentation, a keynote speech at a conference. So, it's nice to be back doing that again. By the same token, I appreciate and understand people like Ruth. I'm going to lunch on Wednesday with some friends who say, we only want to be on a patio. We won't go into a restaurant yet.
Yep.
And you can't criticize that. That's their way of being. So you go along with it. And I think there is that mix nowadays that I think we can't criticize. We have to let people do what they want to do.
There are mixed messages. I'm on a board of directors, and I know on my calendar, it said there was a meeting 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night. So I got in my car and I drove to the meeting. And when I got there, there was nobody there. And then I went back to my calendar and I looked and I didn't see underneath it. It just said virtual meeting only because we're not ready to get back together in person. Yet I'm on another board of directors and that meeting this week is fully in person. And, you know, all 10, 15 people are going to be there. So we do get the mixed messages, Ruth. We're kind of in a, I don't know, in a strange gray zone right now.
Yeah, we do. But I also think, you know, for me too, it's not just my mom's 95. She's going to be 96 soon. And she's doing great. All is well. However, there's nobody else around that if something happens, that would be able to care for her. So, and she's living independently. And so, you know, there's concern there too, right? You don't want to. And when you're out with people and whether you're at a board meeting or whatever, you don't know how everybody else is living their lives and what's going on. But you're right. There are mixed messages. And some people are just, it's business as usual. And for some, I mean, I always just assume everything is virtual now, unless I know otherwise, unless I hear otherwise.
There's a group in my building who play cards on Tuesday night, euchre. I used to play with them. I still won't play because I don't know. I don't want to touch cards. I don't see again. I'm weird. I'll go out to a restaurant inside, but I don't want to touch cards because I don't know where their hands have been. I
you're right. You're weird. Anyway, let's let's
pause. On that note,
we'll pause for the traffic and the weather.
Back to the Zoom table on News Talk 610 CKTB.
My guests this morning on the program, the president of the 2% Factor, speaker, author, Ted Moradian. Ruth Unruh is the host of Niagara Made here on 610 CKTV. Are either of you Pink Floyd fans? And there was, okay, Ruth is nodding, Ted's shaking his head. producer Alex has a tattoo. Really? Okay. So 2 out of 3.
A Pink Floyd tattoo?
Yes, he has a Pink Floyd tattoo.
Yeah. Dark Side of the Moon, the triangle, it's goes around my arm.
Awesome.
Uh-oh. Now I know where she's going to be later on today. Anyway, Roger Waters, who has never been a stranger to political commentary, is embroiled in a little bit of a controversy right now in Poland, where all of his concerts have been canceled. The government has stepped in and the producers for the shows have been canceled in the wake of a letter that he wrote to the Ukrainian First Lady, Irina Zelenska. And Zelenska went online a little while ago and said that more support for Ukraine would bring an end to the war faster. So Roger Waters sent her a letter and saying, I guess it might depend on what you mean by support for Ukraine. If by support for Ukraine, you mean the West continuing to supply arms to the Kiev government armies, you're tragically mistaken. The United States, he says, has a vested interest in extending the war and said that extreme nationalists in Ukraine were the reason that this war existed at all. Ask Russian, ask Putin for peace, not Ukraine. That's Roger Waters basically coming out and saying, hey, the Ukrainians are the reason that this war is happening at all. What do you take from the cancellation of his concerts, Ted? I'll start with the guy who's not a big Pink Floyd fan right off the bat. The government of Poland and the producers of the concerts cancel it. He calls it censorship. What do you take from that?
That's a tough one because I don't believe in censorship, but by the same token, what a dumb, silly thing to say. I'm sorry. I mean, that's his opinion,
yeah.
But you know, like I've said in the program many times, if you put yourself out there, if you're a public figure, I have to be very careful what I say and write in public because I'm a public figure. If you're a public figure, you have to be careful. There are consequences to it. If you want to be political, then take those consequences.
And yeah, and Roger Waters has taken the consequences in the past. He's never been afraid to be politically outspoken. Ruth, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Ted. I think that, you know, if you want to have an opinion and you go out there with it, then you're going to take some hits and you don't know what those consequences are. And you know, we do that personally. And in Roger Waters' case, it's professional. Is it censorship? Like, you know, what does Pink Floyd performing and their music have to do with the letter that Roger Waters, like, is it one and the same? So, I mean, you know, you can kind of look at it.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it kind of is. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if
Bruce Springsteen... this is a topic that's very, like, look at the Jeff Dunham.
I know, but well, okay. But if say Bruce Springsteen comes out and is very anti-Donald Trump, which he is,
yeah.
Do you associate that political opinion with Bruce's music? And do you understand people getting mad at him?
You know, I do, but that's different being anti-Donald Trump or anti-something. But the same as I don't agree with universities stopping really controversial people coming to speak in classes. I think that's open dialogue that has to happen. There's a war on. People are getting killed. Mm-hmm. This is entirely different, I think. I think
it's okay. Different. Ruth?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a political opinion, right? It's a political opinion. So I think that, you know, do we separate a political opinion from somebody's art? Or do we put that all together? I don't know what the answer is. I think for a lot of us, it seems to be, if we like the art, it's okay. And if we don't like it, then it's not okay. But I mean, the music isn't going to change, right? The concert isn't necessarily going to change just because of his opinion. Same as Bruce Springsteen, right? His songs are his songs, unless he's changing all the words to his songs.
And the other thing, to be fair, when Waters does a concert, and a lot of artists, you know, people do say, hey, you can separate the artist from the political opinions. Yet when they go on stage, Roger Waters says the same things on stage that he says on Twitter. He, you know, he goes off on people. His political opinion is right square center when he's live on stage. So it's difficult if you're a fan to separate the two if you're going to be that politically open on stage. Right, Ted?
I agree. And I think that you can't separate, sorry, Ruth, you can't separate the art from the artist because a lot of artists are political. And I think if people want to pay for their ticket, they can pay for the ticket and go. Now, if he's standing on stage and saying something about, you know, killing people or doing something like that, that's a whole different ballgame. That line has been moved. And it's different than it used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago. And frankly, it's scary. I mean, look what's happening in Italy. You know, it's scary. Yep.
I want to get to that in a sec. But Ruth, if you had a chance to buy tickets to see Roger Waters, and I know you're a fan, would you go now knowing this, or would it change your opinion at all?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to concerts.
Well, there is that. So that's an easy out to that question.
That's an easy out, right? Like, how's that for getting out of answering that question? You know, I honestly don't know. I would probably have to do a little bit more thinking on it and looking at exactly what he's saying. Because to be honest, I haven't paid much attention to his political opinions. I like Pink Floyd music.
Yep.
Right.
Well, I run into this.
But I do think I'm influenced by what somebody is putting out there.
And I'd like to think I wouldn't be, but then again, I look at Eric Clapton, whose racial views to me are pretty abhorrent. I mean, this is a guy who talked, you know, many times on stage about keeping Britain white, and we got to do something to keep the immigration, you know, from taking over our white nation, blah, blah, blah. I like Eric Clapton music. I think he's an amazing guitar player, but I'm really conflicted if he were to play locally, whether I would ever buy a ticket to see his show again.
I don't think I'd buy a ticket to see him.
See, and there you go.
Yeah, there you go. So there is a line, I guess, right? And we all.
But isn't that line individual though, Ruth? Isn't that?
I think so. I think you're right. I think, and everybody has an opportunity to either go or not go, right? And support or not support. So I think you're right, Ted. I think it is individual. We all get to make that choice.
Does it worry you that Italy's government has turned very right wing, Ted? Giorgia Meloni is the leader of the Brothers of Italy, which is a party that has its roots in fascism. They've tried to disassociate themselves somewhat from that, but not completely. Most people who were voting in Italy's election know where this party came from. And the results show that she is going to become the new prime minister of Italy, leading a party that has its roots in something we haven't seen since the end of World War II. Ted, does that worry you?
It does and it doesn't, because I think that we are going right worldwide. I mean, look at the trends with Poilievre here in Canada, with Trumpism in the United States, with a lot of the countries in Europe, especially Eastern Bloc, who are going right.
It's even happening in Scandinavia. Yeah,
that's right. Yet, look what's happening in Iran. The Russian people are also now starting to move and stand up. We're in interesting times. There are groups that are standing up to this stuff, and yet there's a whole group that are embracing going back. I think the pendulum, even though the pendulum is swinging, I think it's jolted while it's swinging because it's not sure where it wants to go worldwide. We won't see it. Grandchildren, going to be an interesting world, I'll tell you.
It is now. Ruth, thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think there are some hopeful signs, as Ted was saying. And actually, I was just talking to a friend about that yesterday, and how it's easy to get afraid of, for some of us, this right swing that seems to be happening. But I do think there are things happening on the other side that perhaps we'll be able to find some balance. What sort of frightens me, and I think all of us, is this, we're so separate and apart in some of these opinions, and that just gets more and more and more amplified. But I also think maybe is it, you know, a last gasp of something, right? And that we're going to find the center somewhere.
I'm out of time for both. It's been a really interesting show. Thank you for your thoughts, Ruth. Ted, good to have you both. And great to see you this morning. Don't go anywhere. The news with Matt is coming up next. And then you and I will get together again for Niagara in the Morning beginning tomorrow at 5 a.m. I'm Tim Dennis. Thanks for being here.